Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power, and to all of those of you listening, I wish you a most happy Thanksgiving holiday. Yes, it's the Big Bird Day, and if you're like me, you've been cooking and you've been preparing stuff, and I even went so far as trying some new recipes. Today, we've got an open mic day, and I invite you, should you desire to connect with me today, give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's right. It's going to be an open mic day. There's no guests today. It's just me, myself, and I, and you, if you would like to be included. 888-627-6008. I happened to watch on television a few days ago the wonderful program about Carol Burnett. And one of the performers that was honoring her because she was being presented with an award, and this woman is just incredible anyhow. And I think that when they showed certain things, I didn't have much time to watch very much of the show, but what I did see, I was so impressed with some of the excerpts that they had put on. And one of the people performing for Carol is Tony Bennett. Now, Tony Bennett, I have no idea at this moment how old he is. I'm sure he's in his 80s. And this is a man that is still performing. Now, he's unlike so many people of the generation that he came through in that he has never dropped being a professional. And I thought I would share with you this morning something that Tony Bennett said regarding the key to a lasting career. He said, having two creative disciplines that I've followed all my life, singing and painting. The key, when I perform, I interact with my musicians and the audience. It's a very social endeavor. He has a good time with it. When he paints, he said, it's just me and a blank canvas. That's it. He said, singing and painting create a yin-yang balance because they complement each other. He said, I'm able to always be in a creative zone, but never have to feel burned out by doing just one thing. And when I was watching him perform, of course he's been performing for so many years, but I looked at him. I looked at the brand he presented as an entertainer. He always dresses just beautifully. And more than that, he's so much at ease. And of course he always had this smoothness when he would sing. And I watched him, and I noticed how he adapted when he was singing to lower notes, because he no longer can sing the higher notes that he used to sing years ago. And he's done that, too. He's adapted. And I thought, here we have a holiday today, and we have the opportunity, number one, to take the time to be grateful for what we have. And I know in our neighborhood we have a family that's spending their last time with a member, with a mother in their family who's passing away. And so this Thanksgiving, they're appreciating whatever they have in the moments left with her. But there's also the other side. There's the other side of being aware that life has its cycle. You have your beginnings, you have your endings, no matter what is going on. Nothing stays in the same positioning forever. We would like to be able to think that way. But Thanksgiving to me represents more than just being grateful. It reminds me of being aware. It reminds me of living in the moment. And I think that as you go through this day and you are with those that you love, friends, family, just looking at your life and being aware of all of the shifts and changes that you've gone through throughout your life, maybe taking a few minutes. Take a walk around the block. Go and do something like that so that you can just sort of reflect. This is a wonderful day to reflect. It's so quiet. I know in our neighborhood, because so many people are busy preparing for the actions of the afternoon and the food and all of this kind of stuff, that it's so quiet in the morning. And it's just deliciously delightful. But take time. Get yourself away from the TV, from the cell phone. Just take some time. And be aware that this could be a pivotal moment for you. Where is it you want to go? What is it you'd like to do? Before we know it, it's going to be a new year. And where do you want to go from here? How do you want your life changed? What is most significant to you? All of this and more can be the gift of this wonderful, wonderful day. And here in the Pacific Northwest, the sun is shining. It is absolutely gloriously beautiful. And, of course, telephone lines are open should you want to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Turkeys. My goodness. I saw so many people that were just purchasing yesterday. I ran out of some stuff, so I had to go into the store. The store was a zoo of activity. Why? Because so many people are working, and at the last minute, they're gathering things together. And those turkeys were going out the door like crazy. Well, there's a little history of the turkey that I thought I would share with you. Turkeys go back a long, long time. They go all the way back to Egypt. That's right. They were raised in South America. But something that people don't realize is that turkeys can get a lot of diseases. They're, you know, worse than the chickens. And at the beginning of the 20th century, the most damaging disease to turkeys was called blackhead. And it's an organism that can affect just about any bird. And chickens can be affected, and it can be devastating. But chickens seem to have an immune system that's stronger relative to this disease. Now, they didn't know what caused this disease that was titled blackhead, but they found when they added potassium permanganate to the bird's water, didn't affect it. So it was a dietary deficiency. They tried other things, but nothing seemed to work as well. But they still were trying to get to the root cause. Well, they finally found out that it was a microscopic parasite that was in feed or water. It was contaminated by infected poultry. Now, they started dividing up the birds, and by golly, they find that they can keep this at bay, and they have to be able to add vitamin D to their feed. Now, think about it. We humans suffer from dietary deficiencies if we don't pay attention. Well, it's the same thing with the animals. Turkeys, they found, can develop rickets. That's right, just like human beings, a vitamin D deficiency. When they figured out how they could bring it into its own so that people could enjoy it, they started adding it to the poultry feed. That's right, and it made a big difference. So they have been able, in the turkey farming industry, to be able, especially with the use of caging, which I know a lot of people are not in favor of, but actually it promotes better health with the birds. Who knew? Well, just think about it with human beings. If you have one person that has a highly contagious bacteria or virus in their body, they're sneezing, you can be at a mall and pick up the flu. You can be anywhere in a public place. So that is why it has often been, you're going to segregate people. You're going to keep them away from each other. Somebody's sick. I mean, when I was growing up, if you had a cold or if you had anything like chickenpox, measles, whatever, you were isolated. You were kept away from everybody else. It works. It works until whatever is affecting you, well, you get over it. You go through it. So, by golly, by the end of the 1940s, because of the discovery of adding nutrients to feed, they were able, and using Cajun, number one, they were able to keep everything cleaner. Very, very important. They were able to keep things cleaner. The birds ended up healthier. And like I said, incubators were used to hatch poultry in ancient Egypt. And we still use them today. And there is a real real factor with the turkey industry that is just so commercialized, and we all know about it. And one of my guests, Leo Pearlstein, Leo has been on the air with me, oh my goodness, for almost, well, for the 12 years, just about the 12 years that I've been doing my show. And he used to work with the California Turkey Advisory Board, and he came up with the idea. This was in 1963. He came up with the idea to present John F. Kennedy with a turkey at the White House, and there was a photo op that occurred on November 18th, and Kennedy said he wasn't going to eat the bird, and thus the pardoning of the turkey bird happened, and photographs of the event were never sent out. 4 days later, Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. But the pardoning of the turkey, that goes all the way back to Lincoln. Lincoln's son just did not want anything to happen to his beautiful turkey, and so Lincoln pardoned that turkey. But you know what? It is a fascinating phenomena how today, and Macy's Parade, I believe, might even be going on right now. Macy's Parade is just absolutely one of the biggest events, and they were so concerned about the parade this year because they're having really rugged weather back there. And they said if the winds got up to over 45 miles an hour, they were really going to have a challenge because they have those massive, massive balloons. Well, you know, it was started by Macy's employees on November 27th, 1924, this parade has been going on for a long, long time. And it started in 1924 on 145th Street in Harlem and ended in front of Macy's on Herald Square. Now, these balloons are just absolutely incredible. And it takes a tremendous team of people to make sure that they go through the parade and volunteers, just like with the Rose Parade. The volunteers are thrilled to participate in this. This is a very, very big event. So if you have a chance to watch it, do so because it is, well, it's a tradition in America. This is the Turkey Day. It really is an American story. We have taken it far and above what anyone would have imagined it could possibly experience. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is an open mic day. 888-627-6008. Now, I know that you're fixing all kinds of stuff today, so you may decide my sharing with you a mushroom barley soup is just not too good. But you know what? You could use your leftover turkey or your leftover meat, whatever you might have. But before I go into that, I wanted to say tomorrow is what's called Black Friday. And I don't know about you. Are you one of these people that gets up real early in the morning to take care of shopping plans? Here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a number of stores that are open today that never before have been open today. In fact, Walmart is open in our area. And all of the employees that are working today are working because they want to. Nobody's forcing them. I think that's a great idea. And some people got pretty upset. There was a lot of flack in the media here about, oh, gee whiz, is this a good thing? Stores should be closed, so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, it is a reality. Business is business. We live in a much different world than, let's say, people in the 50s and 60s where everything was closed on Sunday. You couldn't get anything if you needed it. And stores usually closed down, and as the old terminology was, the sidewalks were rolled up about 6 o'clock at night. And I just think that it's so, really, it's convenient, our lifestyle. People are working all kinds of odd hours. And I think if someone wants to volunteer to work, that is their choice. I did it years ago when I was working. I made double time when I worked on a holiday. So I'd try to get the shift that I wanted, and as I built up seniority, I was able to do that. But the Thanksgiving holidays of any kind, it just was something I'd adapt, I'd adjust. It was no big deal. So I find it very interesting that people are a little bit upset with this. But again, you don't want to be in the store? You don't have to go. But if you like so many of those that are really going to be up early to take advantage of getting certain sales, I know sometimes people camp out outside of stores hours before they open because they want to be the first one in. Many stores often offer very specific things for a certain amount of people, and then when it's gone, it's gone. That's it. Well, sometimes it's wise to wait. And I had some information across my desk that if you're interested in electronics, it may be wise for you to wait to buy them. There was a recent study done. The prices of laptops, digital cameras, and other electronics drop lower during the first week of December as retailers want to empty the shelves of inventory left over from Black Friday. Who knew? I didn't know that that was the case. Also, if you're interested in getting toys for kids, Amazon.com apparently has the lowest prices around. That's what I was given in the way of information. When stores are running out of whatever the hot item is, Amazon is likely to still have them in stock. If you want to shop in person, then go to Walmart. It still snags the top spot for the lowest prices on toys at brick and mortar stores. So that is something. And you don't want to ask a salesperson if something is going to go on sale. Now, when I came across this information, I found that interesting. Because if you know a store and you've developed a relationship with the salespeople, usually they will tell you when something's going on sale. That happened with me. I had someone I was shopping, and I had picked up a number of items, and the person said, you know what? If you will put this on hold for 24 hours and come back tomorrow, you'll get it at half price. I was stunned. Who knew? They were going to be putting up all of the tickets for the clothing items, etc., the ones that I was interested in, that night. Employees were going to be working. So this salesperson said, let me ring up the sale, and we will just put it on hold for you, and I will give you the half price. I was stunned. I had no idea that that was going up. So I will disagree with this statement to a degree. There were researchers from Britain that said two-thirds of the salespeople they interviewed didn't know the correct information about the products and policies in the stores where they work, and often will give you inaccurate information rather than saying, I just don't know. Well, if that salesperson has been with that store for quite a while, they're happy to give you the tip. Because they know, one, they're going to be able to get a commission, but two, they know they want you to come back in and to buy from them again. I find it so interesting that people forget that when you're selling and you're buying, always involving a person. And also, $16 billion in credit card rewards go unspent. Have you got a credit card where you have points? I know I do. I still haven't spent them. Well, if you've got lots of points accrued on your credit cards, this is the time to redeem them. Because companies often offer special discounts on gift cards and merchandise, which you can use to give out as gifts without spending a dime. I just think it's marvelous. Now, if you get automated phone calls from telemarketers, they often like to call them robocalls. Oh, we get so many of them here. It says you can press a number to be removed from their list or to talk with a live person. Whatever you do, don't push the button. Just hang up. Firms are confirming they have reached an active phone number, which can then lead to your number being sold to other telemarketers, resulting in more calls. So like I said, if you've got something automated, just hang up. Don't wait. And believe me, they are just doing a bang-up job. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day. Give me a call if you'd like to chat with me. 888-627-6008. 627-6008. 888. The area code. Now, if you really want to make it easy on yourself, and if you're saying, you know what? After all the activity of today, what can I do so I don't have to cook? Frequently, that's what I think. How do you set stuff up, especially when you have been preparing? I know some households, they have been preparing for a week because they're going to have a huge array of people. A lot of them are doing potlucks and this type of thing, so it's not so bad. But if you're the one that's the primary provider, this recipe is something that can be absolutely wonderful. And you can add your leftover meat to it. You can just enjoy it. It's light, and it is just deliciously refreshing. It's a mushroom barley soup. And this is how it reads. It's 8 ounces of white button mushrooms, trimmed, sliced. It's going to be about 8 cups. And if you're really lazy, just use the canned. But if you want, go ahead and, you know, use the fresh white button mushrooms. 8 ounces of shiitake mushrooms. You want to trim and slice them. It's going to be about 4 cups. So right there, you've got 12 cups of mushrooms. You're going to need one medium onion diced, a medium carrot. And by the way, if you can't get shiitake, use the other mushrooms. Don't worry about it. Put your favorite mushrooms in there. You're going to need a medium onion, a medium carrot. You want to dice it, both of them. 2 ribs of celery, I'm going to dice that, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic minced, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 2 bay leaves, 6 cups of broth. Now, if you want, you can use vegetable broth. If you're a vegetarian, you don't add meat, this is all vegetables, you can use vegetable broth. If you are not a vegetarian and you want to have the beef flavor or you want to have the poultry flavor, use your chicken broth. 1/2 cup of pearl barley, and then, of course, a little bit of salt and pepper. You can do that if you want. Now, I really love a crock pot. You can put all this stuff in a crock pot, turn it on low, and just let it simmer. You can leave it on all night. It hardly uses any energy. Crock pots are just great. But if you're wanting to do this in a short period of time, then what you can do is take your onion, your carrot, and celery and put it in the olive oil in a large pot over medium heat and just cook it until it's almost tender. It's going to take about 10 minutes, no biggie. You add your garlic, your thyme, and bay leaves, cook, and you stir it occasionally, and it'll become very fragrant as you're cooking. That's going to be about 4 minutes. Then you add your broth. Bring the soup to a simmer, add your barley. Now, the barley is going to take about 35 to 45 minutes to cook. And then you remove your bay leaves before you're serving. But this is a great way. I love soup. I'm a big person that loves soup, but because it is so simple. And you've got all that nutrition in there. And I often will create soups that are just Donna's soup, whatever's left over in the pantry or in the refrigerator. And it turns out wonderfully. If you didn't want to use barley, some people don't like barley, use rice noodles. That's right. You can use rice noodles, you could use brown rice, you can use wild rice. See, there's no limit to how you can adapt this, whether you're a vegetarian or not. And it's delicious. But if you had prime rib for Thanksgiving, wonderful. Toss a little prime rib in there. If you had the chicken or the turkey, whatever you do, pork even, you can put it in. Just remember, this is a very easy recipe. It is utterly delicious. And calorie-wise, well, without any kind of meat added, it's very, very low in calories. And it's something that's very easy on the tummy, especially after you've had a big day with a lot of food. So I just wanted to share that with you. By the way, we are going to have quite a lineup of guests. I encourage you to go in to the website and check out the guests that are coming up. And, of course, the newsletter is going to be coming out on the 1st of the month. And we've got some wonderful things that are evolving and happening, and you will be made aware of what those are in the newsletter. So if you want more information on that, then just go to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Thanksgiving is a day when people really like to express their gratitude. But this woman, her name is Carol Browning. She's out of Texas, and she said she worked at a 24-hour truck stop. She's been waitressing there for well over 11 years. She said Thanksgiving was no big day to her. It was just another work day. And she said it was a few years ago, one of her customers came in. He was a trucker, and he drove by himself. He didn't have a partner. And as she brought his plate of food to the table, he wasn't very responsive. He was talking on the phone. And when she put the order of food down in front of him, she looked at him and she noticed he was crying. Yes, he was crying. And she said to herself, oh my goodness, I hate to see somebody so sad on a holiday like this. At any time, I don't like it, but especially Thanksgiving. So she said, I wanted to see if I could do something for him. So she returned to the table where he was, and she asked him softly, is there anything I can do to help? Well, the man was in tears, and he said, no, I don't think so. And then he just started talking. It was sort of quiet in the restaurant, not a lot going on. And she just listened. And he said, my wife just asked me for a divorce. He said, I wish I could talk to her about it in person, but I've got to be on the road. I'm driving for 3 more days. Well, she listened, and she said, okay, I want you to do something. I want you to write your name and your wife's name on this piece of paper. And she put her order pad down and her pen down on the table in front of him. And she said, I'm going to pray for the two of you. Well, he was surprised, but he wrote down what she requested, both of their names. He said, I don't know if it's going to do any good, but thank you. I appreciate your kindness. She said, no problem. So she tore off that piece of paper, tucked it in her pocket. And she said, there's one thing I'm requesting of you. I want you to be sure to come back and tell me if the prayer was answered. You know, she didn't see him for another year. But on Thanksgiving Eve, the following year, she was looking for him. And there he was. He was sitting in the section of the restaurant that was classified as her station. And he said, you know what? You need to know. Your prayers worked out for me. They did the trick. My wife and I worked things out, and we just had our first baby. I just thought I would share that with you. Sometimes, kind words, a prayer, you just never know what maybe can create a shift in someone. And as you go about your day-to-day, don't forget to realize that you can have an effect on someone's life in a very positive way, just like she did. Just by showing she cared, made a difference. And perhaps the prayer list did too. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. When we come back, those phone lines are open, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to Open Mic Day here on Thanksgiving, 888-627-6008. Ivory, it is, my goodness, a $50 million a year black market industry. And it's just amazing, and we know how many animals have been sacrificed through the years, especially elephants. And I came across some information that when I looked at the photography, I just was blown away. And that's because in Manila, 5 tons of ivory, 5 tons of it, can you imagine how many animals that represented, were crushed so it could never be used. And this happened apparently last June. The Philippines became the first non-African country to destroy its ivory stock. And ivory has always been especially revered, and in so many parts of the world, ivory has been used for sculptures and other things, and I know that I have some exquisite items that were carved in ivory, but they were mastodon bones that they found in Alaska. So they're not in the endangered area. But it's really interesting, if you watch the Antiques Roadshow or any of these programs, that people will bring their items that are very, very old that are made from elephant ivory. And you can't sell them that easily. There's just all kinds and rules and regulations. China is the biggest purchaser of ivory. There are crime syndicates that literally slaughter tens of thousands of African elephants annually. And they send this. China has just purchased this. I mean, like I said, it's a $50 million a year black market industry. And this is what they did in the Philippines. They sorted the tusks and the drilling samples to be sent to the U.S. for DNA analysis. The teeth of the elephants were put in a parking lot. They were shattered with a backhoe and a road roller, and then they were incinerated in an animal crematorium, and they are putting up an elephant memorial. The burned remains will be put at that memorial. And the Department of Environment and Natural Resources Secretary, Ramon J.P. Paye, said that the Philippines will not be a party to this massacre, and we refuse to be a conduit to this cycle of killing. And there have been ivory piles that have been seized in national storerooms all around the world. I want to share something with you that I learned. This was on a trip that I had to Alaska. And there's an area up in the far north where the native people will hunt whales. Now, this is allowed by law. They're not getting 10, 20, 30 of them. They're just getting maybe one at a time. Now, this has been a part of their culture for centuries. And when I talked to two women, it was a mother-daughter, I was up in Anchorage, and they were telling me how, where they live, the weather is so bitter, bitter cold, and their winters have been getting colder and colder and colder. She said, we have to have our own food. So when they have the whale hunt, it feeds about 7 villages, I think she told me, 7 or 8 villages. Well, that whale, they are so efficient. Every aspect of that whale is utilized. And when it comes to the jawbone of the whale, that often is placed, because they're huge, it's often placed in the graveyard that they have up there to honor the animal. And also those that risk their lives to go out to provide fresh meat for their village. And they said, people can't even fly in to where we are. The weather is so bad. So we have to stock up our meat. And the whale provides a huge amount. And they can take a whale and they can totally divide that whale up. They've been doing it for so many generations, within 24 hours. That whale is completely cut up, the bones cleaned. They have it down to a fine science. Nothing in that whale is wasted. Nothing. every part of that animal is used, including the bones, because they use those bones for carving. And they have done that for generations. They use just, again, every part. I was amazed at how the stomach was used in the intestines. And they have their ice caves that they will then put the meat in. Now, this is in today's world. This is what they do. But the environment they live in, they found to survive in it, this is what they have to do. Because they said, we just don't have very much in the way of junk food. We have a little store that we will have some things there. But we primarily live the way on the food that our ancestors lived on because it's healthy. She said, we're all much healthier because of it. And I thought, isn't this interesting? Here, there is absolutely no waste whatsoever. Every part of the animal is used. And it took the Western world a long time. The Native American Indians did the same with the buffalo. The buffalo, they revered. They would have ceremonies before they went on the hunt. Because without the buffalo, there were a lot of things they didn't have. They used the sinew for sewing. They had the hides that kept them warm and the meat. I mean, every part of the animal was used. They just said, you just don't kill for the sake of killing. You do what you have to do. But then the Western European attitude was, we don't care. And they slaughtered thousands of animals. When I come back full circle to the story about the elephant, this is something where we're seeing a change in thinking. We are seeing an evolution that's finally occurring. And it's really been in a fairly short period of time. But we're recognizing that how we affect the creatures in the natural world that we ourselves live in, we're part of the animal kingdom too, it has a big effect on our lives. And it can really make a difference. You need to know that being aware that these things are occurring, that there is a consciousness that is shifting, saying, yes, there has been this patterning, but we're not going to contribute to it anymore. You see, it's all about people. It's all about people. People making choices. People deciding that they are not going to be a part of what they see as being inhumane, number one, but number two, unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. In fact, if you really take time to observe nature, many inventions come about because of that. And there is one that is evolving because of someone observing a natural phenomenon. There's a fish called the look-down fish. Now, this fish is a master at hiding. And they tried to figure out why. Because they hide in plain sight. If you ever heard the statement, if you don't want to be found, be right out in the open where everybody sees you and nobody will see you. Well, that applies to these fish. And why this occurs, it's because of the skin of the fish. It manipulates polarized light. Predators that would love to have it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner can't see them. They can't detect them. Now, they're in the Atlantic waters. They're a coastal fish. And the U.S. Navy is wanting to know why this works so effectively, so efficiently. They thought maybe we could do the same thing utilizing a similar technique with a ship, submarine ships. Reflective paint may boost underwater camouflage. Who knew? Would you have thought of that? I don't know. It's so many times when people make observations of what is going on around them, they get this aha idea. Velcro came about because of that. How many other people come up with ideas just because they're sort of sitting and observing? And this cosmic soup is always around you. And at just the right moment and the right time, something goes bing, and you got it. And you make a shift, and you make a change. And it is happening at a rate that is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to be seeing some incredible things that are going to be evolving Could you imagine flushing a cell phone down a toilet purposefully? No, I don't think anybody wants to do that. But what if it were made of non-toxic materials that totally dissolved when they hit water? Now, we go into a panic today. If you dump your cell phone in water, you're told to put it in dry rice and just let it air out, and if you're lucky, it will continue to work. Well, somebody's already working on a phone that will sort of self-destruct. That's right, Mission Impossible style. Totally self-destruct. Non-toxic. Yes, there are people thinking of these things. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to also bring up an awareness that there are so many good people in this world that in their own way, they're making a difference. They're making a difference by doing what they know how to do. And there is a gentleman by the name of Lale Labuco. And this is a man who came from Ethiopia. He was born into a particular tribe. They have no written records of any kind. He guesses that he was born in the 80s, but he's not sure. But in his tribe, there was a horrible, horrible pattern of killing babies that were born out of wedlock. And if they were born to parents who didn't get permission from the elders to have a child, or whose teeth grow in the top first instead of the usual bottom up, the belief is among this tribal group that the babies are cursed. They need to be killed. Now, why would that be? Those of us in the Western world would hear this and just shake our heads and go, it doesn't make sense. Why? It just doesn't make sense. Well, there's a lot of things that we do that don't make sense, perhaps to outside observers. But he decided that he was going to really work against this. And he has rescued 37 children. 37 children he has rescued from this tribe. And the reason he decided to do this is when he was about 15, there was a village elder that grabbed a 2-year-old from its mother. The mother was crying, and he didn't know what was going on. And his mother told him, some children in our tribe are declared Mingi, and they killed them. And he said, in his tribal language, Mingi means cursed. And she said, and he asked her, he said, well, how do they kill the children? And she said, well, they leave them in the bush. They don't give them water, nothing, or they're pushed off of a cliff. And, you know, just hearing that just makes your blood run cold. In 2008, he went to the elders of his tribe, and he said, you think these children are cursed, and they are going to bring disease and famine to the tribe. Could you give me a child so maybe the curse will follow me? And the elders liked that idea. He used a little bit of psychology. Now, he was warned by other people in the tribe, if you rescue the children, one day the tribe is going to kill you. And he did it anyway. He was rescuing these children. Now, his tribe, and the tribe is called the Kara tribe, they have stopped the practice of killing the children. But the Hamer tribe still practices it, and he said it's very difficult to change an ancient culture, and that's true. I don't care what part of the world you're in. He said, the children, I just tell them that they're with me because they're going to go to school. And he said, when they're older, when they can understand, I will tell them that these are customs that should not be, but it's part of a culture. It's not your parents' fault. And you have a chance to go out and make your life the way you want it to be. One person doing what they want to do to make a difference. Same thing for you. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to chat, is 888-627-6008. I want to share some information with you about scams. The holiday season is really a big one. There are so many of the scammers out there. And I was really intrigued with some information done by or given out by a man about how he made millions of dollars scamming people. He said, I just was a natural talker. He said, I was a con man. And he said, I was the king of the con men. And finally, it caught up with him in 2004. And he said there were just certain things that he just knew how to work, just absolutely knew how to work. So he's turned to a side of honesty, and he said, I realized that I hurt a lot of innocent people. But he gave out information so that people would become aware of the fact. They don't have to be scammed. And he said if he were in the scam business today, there are two areas that he would focus on. And this really got me when I read it. He said precious metals and reverse mortgages. And I was stunned by that. And he said, a lot of seniors, especially the elderly, and oh my goodness, I have someone in our family whose elderly mother caused a loss of literally hundreds of thousands of dollars because she didn't understand certain things, and she was taken advantage of. And sadly, her family was affected in a very negative way. But he said, this is why it is a big scam. You need to pay attention, and if you have any members of your family that think that they're going to want to do this, you really, really have to pay attention. And this is what he said. He said a lot of seniors have paid off their homes, and that's like an untapped bank account. If your home is worth $300,000, you've paid off your mortgage, you have $300,000 sitting in the bank waiting for me to steal it. Now, he said you're going to see a lot of ads on television, and we've all seen them. Direct marketing advertising telling you how to get the money out of your house while you're still living it. But he said some of these ads are not legitimate. There's a few that are, but many of them aren't. And his mother asked him, because of what he was so good at, what could she share with her senior friends that could keep them from being taken in by these schemes? First, he said, if someone is pitching a deal, ask yourself what's in it for him. He said the most common ploy is to get you to take out a loan on your house and then invest the proceeds in a long-term annuity or some other investment in which the salesman makes a huge commission. It may not be fraud, but it may be a lot better deal for the salesman than for you. And he said, second, if someone comes to your home You never sign any paperwork until your attorney, someone you choose, not someone the salesman refers you to, reads the fine print. And so many times, an older person is trusting. And he said, they're very open. Usually senior citizens will talk about their families, their kids, all of this. So he played to the emotions with the elderly. And he said, when it comes to gold and silver scams, he said, we would sell gold coins at 300 to 500% markup. So our victim of the scam would pay $25,000 for a bunch of coins, which they'd get. But years later, they'd take them to a coin shop and learn they were worth only a few thousand dollars. Now, he said, why is this? This just blew me away. He said, now, why is this such a successful hustle? Well, the coin industry is unregulated. Also, when the victims receive the coins, they don't realize until years later that they've been taken. And he said, with this bad economy we've been in, people think, oh, we buy gold. We'll go and we'll buy gold coins. Oh, we'll do this, that, or the other. Keep your money in your pocket. Don't spend it. Now, he said when he was doing this, he was making so much money that he didn't care who he was hurting. Well, when he got caught, it created a big shift. And he said, there were places that you could go to work as a closer for the latest scam. That's right. They know how to close the deal. They'll talk with people. You'll talk with A, you'll talk with B, you'll talk with C. They want to close the deal. Quite an eye-opening statement by him, but he decided that he wasn't going to do it anymore. He didn't want to do it. And in 2009... he was in Washington, D.C. at a fraud prevention conference sponsored by the Federal Trade Commission. And so now he's working on the other side of the scam business, and he works very closely with the AARP Fraud Fighter Call Center. And he said, I am really experiencing karma big time. That's right. That's what he said. He said because he was a heavy smoker, and he's only 45 years old. He now has emphysema. He's on a waiting list for a double lung transplant. And he said, with everything that I'm going through right now, do I have regrets? You bet. And that's why I am doing what I can. Because who knows? I may not get that lung transplant. I'd be checking out sooner rather than later. So I'm doing everything I can to try to reverse the negative that I created. It is so important. So if you know of anyone that is older, actually this can happen to a younger person. It's so easy. Be aware. There's no such thing as a shortcut to wealth, really. I know some people think so, but not really. It is really important to be aware, just like he said. What's in it for the person that's making the deal? Keep that in the forefront of your mind. This is Donna Sebo on this Thanksgiving Day. I wish you nothing but the best. And tomorrow we'll be back here, same time, same place. That's right. I welcome you to join me at my broadcasting table, and thank you for spending a wonderful part of your day with me. I so appreciate you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Donna Sebo here. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Have gratitude, smile, and enjoy all the good stuff that you're sharing today. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.